Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
Hey, babies, this is Cleo.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
City Queercast show number 607. I'm Amy Matheny here in Chicago. So happy to be joined by one of my dearest friends that I have the pleasure to just get to work with and talk with, Miss Cleo, calling us from Florida. Hey, Miss Cleo, how are you?
Well, happy holidays, everybody. I am doing just lovely, darling. Just lovely. Always so good to have a chance to sit and chat with you all in Chi-Town. You know how much I love you all.
I know. We love you. And it's kind of, it really is a marker when we have this time of year at the end of the year. I know that you and I, off camera, off recording, when we hit stop, we love to catch up on our lives and what the years looked like and what the year ahead, what we hope for each other and are going to, you know, help send the good thoughts to one another over the years. But I thought that we would kind of do that too with our listeners today and kind of have you continue to look back with us a little bit. That's not often something we ask Ms. Cleo to do. But 2014 has been such an incredibly full, huge year, an abundant year. And it doesn't always mean abundant, doesn't have to always mean good. It just means a lot. It's been a lot.
Right.
And we've definitely done our year in review shows with our news editors, but you take us to more of a heart place and more of a spiritual place, which is always a perspective I love to have on the Queercast. So, Ms. Cleo, 2014, you can make this personal, you can make this as the community, you can make this as the nation or the world, but, you know, looking back on 2014, what will the year be remembered as and what will you remember this year for?
Boy, that's a big question. First of all, I'm always so grateful to be back with you, Amy. Amy and I have been doing this, I think this is our eighth year, I've lost track.
At least, maybe longer.
Right, everybody at Windy City, across the board, I love you all, and thank you so much for always showing me so much love. But understatement, I don't know if we could have made an overstatement. 2014, Jesus, Lamb Divine, what a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there was a roller coaster with 3D effects, it would be 2014. For the LGBT community, especially here in my neck of the woods, if you would, as far south as you can go and still be in the continental United States, in South Florida, And the state of Florida, period. State of Florida has been very busy in a number of directions, but one that personally impacts our community specifically, and myself personally, has been that it has been, and I don't know how much you all get on the news, but we have had some politicians or some political voices here, while other states have received and accepted that the Supreme Court ruled it to be unconstitutional to ban gay marriage. Many states have set their petitions of adversity or being adverse to the decision, and then they have recognized that they do not have a choice and that they do need to open it up. Mm-hmm. Florida, on the other hand, has one or two voices that they don't understand English, and I'm not being facetious. They just refuse to hear. And they have recently been told, you have to hear. Mm. As we pointed out prior to the conversation, right after the first of the year, January 5th, gay couples throughout the state of Florida will be able to go and apply for marriage licenses.
Yep. January 5th is supposedly the date that the stay, so you're talking about they overturned the ban, and then immediately a judge gave a stay on it until the 5th. But, you know, there is a...
I still think we are going to have a stutter start in South Florida. Only reason I say this is because you know how I look at things. I look at what everybody else looks at, and then I go to the stars, et cetera, the spirits, mm-hmm. to see what I gain from there. And I still think, even with the stay in January 5th being this next day, this next magical marker, I think things will open up and there will be a period of time when we'll be able to get licenses, and one other voice is going to come out of the dark and try and hold on to this ban, because we have a Mercury retrograde on the 22nd of January. And I think things should be resolved completely for the LGBT community in the state of Florida by the mid of next year, at least to the point where we will be able to go and get our licenses and all of their last minute, I don't know what to call it, shenanigans at best, will have run their course. Mm-hmm. And certainly people, you know, right now, freedom of speech and freedom of expression as we come to the end of 2014, which is clearly going out with a bang, we have all recognized that freedom of expression is not necessarily free, mm-hmm. and that with it comes a great deal of responsibility, mm-hmm. on any number of levels. And so it is huge for us here in the state of Florida, in this state community, that this move will then allow other things to occur. It will allow for gay couples who have been raising their foster children, who know them as mom or who know them as dad, and they will be able to do it so that that child or those children can have a real sense of family. Mm-hmm. You know, we will stop holding on to this old, archaic Anita Bryant kind of precept of what family looks like in South Florida. So it is a very exciting time. With it, though, as well as the LGBT community, we also come with responsibility. Because even still, which is even more exciting, is there are protections that are being discussed in a very real manner here for the T of our community, which is the transgender, mm-hmm. Community. And just to share with your listening audience, as I have over the last year and a half with mine, a dear friend of mine is a therapist, and her area of specialty is working with those that in the transgender community that are preparing for the eventuality of the actual change physically. Mm-hmm. And I thought it very important to bring her on my show last year because I felt that it was many people have questions. And I'm talking about many people in the straight community as well as many people in the gay community. Because I used to not perceive or believe that their struggle was my struggle. Mm-hmm. And I have sensed in knowing this very dear friend of mine for a number of years now, and being able to ask her questions in a non-judgmental environment, and she has educated me immensely. And so now I absolutely do understand, and I absolutely do embrace their struggle. I absolutely do embrace their rights as well as the balance of us have rights. And I think moreover than just the legal ease of it, what ultimately I come away with is that we're all looking for some basic mutual human respect.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can set up that systemic spiritual or emotional foundation, then the balance will come into play. You understand? Now, some may say, oh, let me feel, that sounds awfully friggin' carny, and that sounds awfully optimistic. And I would challenge that. I would think that we spend too much time on the, perhaps the legalese and the dotting the T's and the crossing of I's, and we have lost perspective on the precept and the concept and the practice of human respect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, you know, for me, I just continue to get behind that. Because if you are a neighbor and perhaps you are transgender, then if I respect you, then whatever your life is, it is of no consequence to me and neither mine to you, because it is about mutual respect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the moment we become disrespectful, well, then, you know, well, all hell breaks loose. Mm-hmm. In many vibrations. But if we teach more about the respect rather than spending so much time identifying the differences, we might be able to sway things in another 10, 20 years, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I know that Equality Florida, which we have Equality Illinois here in Illinois, and many of these organizations, we discussed this last week on our show, that a lot of these organizations who, you know, have been fighting for marriage equality are now having to redefine as marriage equality kind of becomes the law of the land in many,
right,
many states. And obviously, Equality Florida has a lot of, is still doing their due diligence through January 5th and maybe beyond for Florida. But they have launched this new initiative when now that there are many of these organizations, state per state, are having to broaden their mission. And they have launched this Trans Action Florida, which is a new initiative that's going to do exactly what you're talking about. It's going to increase awareness and educate and promote complete equality for the transgender community there in Florida. And, you know, it is coinciding that they are doing this the same time that a bill has been introduced in Tallahassee, in your state capital, that would add gender identity and sexual orientation to the state's non-discrimination law. And the good thing about that is that it will become the law of the land. Now you need people to uphold the law of the land, and that will take what you're talking about, further education and further awareness. And, you know, these bills made into law still need people holding legislators and lawmakers and people of the state, you know, to the new laws that are passed. Because, you know, it's not enough if they're not enforcing the law, which is a lot of what we've seen in Florida as well for you all.
No, absolutely. And I agree with you 100%. And I definitely think, having been someone, been out for, well, goodness, majority, but I start to do the math and I'm thinking for 2/3 of my life, I definitely know what has been. I have had different precepts and judgments of the movement over the decades.
Mm-hmm.
But even in those judgments, I have continued to become educated. Now, that has been an education that I have sought out myself as a lesbian woman, as a Black lesbian woman in America. What I think is troubling and what I think some of the efforts of all of the equality organizations, as well as other organizations that are not just GLBT, is that we really do have to work to integrate so that we can indeed share the education. I think sometimes education on a more day-to-day level or on a regular person level is not happening. Mm-hmm. And I say that because conversations I have with straight friends who I consider to be very intellectual, intelligent, well-read, whatever the hell you want to call it, they're still clueless,
mm-hmm.
Which there is a problem there. I sought my education. The everyday person is trying to keep their lights on and pay their mortgage. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. Improve their credit rating. You know, there's still large parts of the segments in Florida and other parts of the country and other communities that are tired of us whining. So they would put it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You guys want to be normal, then stop screaming out for special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not something that I haven't heard before. I've heard it as a black woman. I've heard it as a lesbian, a member of the LGBT community. So I think that one way to get around that is really to make an effort to integrate the education in a way that is not aggressive or even passive aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
I have a perfect example. You know the struggles that I have faced personally once I came out publicly in 2006, and I had a number of family that just stopped talking to me. I am Jamaican. I don't have any problem saying that for those of you who didn't question the obvious. I have to make that joke. But they stopped talking to me, and it was a difficult dynamic. And as time has moved forward, there have been a few that are a bit more approachable, but not so much. But I was grateful that I have a very young niece and nephew that when I came out, which is 8 years ago now, who are teenagers. And they are very comfortable with Auntie Cleo, who is always Auntie Cleo. You know, they were too young to recognize Miss Cleo. It's just always Auntie Cleo. And for me, I hold out hope. They are very well rooted in their roots and their histrionics and who they are. And I worked very hard to make sure that they had a good self-esteem and a good sense of self. And they would stand up for me any day of the week. But we are going through a transitional, generational transition right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to sound redundant. But so things are changing. So that kind of vibration and the fact that they accept their aunt and they choose not to step away from me, they choose still to embrace
mm-hmm.
me. They may not ask a lot of questions, but they haven't turned their back on me. So that gives me hope. Last year hurt my feelings. I you know, we discussed briefly on one show that I wasn't sure how to feel about the changes in our country. You know, last year was a double-edged sword for me. In one breath, I was heartbroken when the Supreme Court struck down the Voters' Rights Act. And then in the next breath, you would have to be elated as a member of the LGBT community.
Right.
And so, you know, I felt split. I felt like somebody who was being pulled in two directions because I was so heartbroken by one change and so elated by another.
Mm-hmm.
And why, ultimately, in my own healing, as a very politically active person, you know, for the first 40 years of my life, you know, right there on the front lines, that, you know, I recognized that there will be victories and there will be defeats. We need to continue to work on the defeats to make them victories, and the victories need to be strengthened to become permanent.
Yeah.
And so that's where I came to in trying to personally rationalize. It was really very trying for me as a black woman in America, but as a lesbian black woman in America, I did it really, and I don't know I know some of my associates that are vocal artists and the LGBT community that are Black. We all discuss the struggle, just personally, internally. But on the flip side of it, you know, we also now have the fact that there are many couples that have partners here that are from other countries, mm-hmm. that they have the benefit of becoming citizens. And there's so many things that came out that were so positive that we have to continue to build on as a community. But I'm hoping moving forward that the LGBT community becomes more a part of the framework of what America looks like, mm-hmm. rather than being a separate group that is still searching and crying out for equality.
Well, I definitely think that is the trend and the tide, and something that we've been discussing in the past weeks as well. Like, where is our community? How is it shifting, and how is the landscape shifting for the LGBT community? I just want to say really quickly before we break for what's going on in the theater scene, and then we're going to come back and talk with Cleo just a little more about 2014 and have her dip our toe into 2015. But in Broward County last week, a judge who, there was a judge in Broward County who had last summer declared Florida's gay ban unconstitutional and then vacated his own order on a legal technicality. He has now ordered that a woman should be allowed to divorce her same-sex partner. There was a woman in Lake Worth who wanted mm-hmm. to dissolve a 2002 civil union in Vermont with her partner. And on... this judge, Dale Cohen from Broward Circuit, became the third South Florida judge in 18 days to declare Florida's gay marriage ban unconstitutional. He later then vacated his order and canceled the divorce hearing. So, it is this thing that you're saying, this flip-flop, this shifting waters that's happening there that is really, really interesting. Curious if that's like you said, we had a lot in 2014 where we'd get good news and then there was some not so good news right with it. And that has made 2014, like I said, a lot. Hey, let us tell you what's going on in the theater scene. There's a lot for you to do here at Year's End. And if you've got some time off this holiday week, we're getting ready to really celebrate and dip our toe deeply into 2015. But man, it's just so exciting to live in Chicago and have the amazing and wonderful opportunities here at the start of 2015 to experience and what a rich arts community we have. So we'll tell you what's going on in the theater scene, and then we'll be back and what's going on in the news, and we'll be back with Miss Cleo here on the Queercast.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. Florida clerks are preparing to begin issuing marriage licenses to gay and lesbian couples January 6th. The Supreme Court has refused to delay implementation of a federal judge's ruling declaring the state's ban unconstitutional, removing the last obstacle for it to take effect after January 5th, when the current stay expires.
Washington, D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray signed a bill that bans mental health professionals licensed by the city from performing so-called conversion therapy on minors. The Conversion Therapy for Minors Prohibition Act of 2014 imposes fines and other penalties for licensed therapists and other licensed mental health professionals seeking to change the sexual orientation of people under the age of 18 from gay to straight. The city council unanimously passed the measure.
Philadelphia's Temple University has come under federal investigation after a trans-identified student filed a complaint alleging the school created a hostile environment in the wake of her on-campus sexual assault. Harmony Rodriguez has filed a complaint with the United States Department of Education Office for Civil Rights against Temple, alleging the school failed to address multiple incidents of sexual harassment, including harassment based on her gender nonconformance.
Jay Ralko, a 22-year-old Warren, Michigan trans individual who had been missing since December 10th, was found dead on December 23rd. Rocco left a note for his roommate to take care of his dog. Rocco suffered from bipolar disorder and was found dead inside his Ford Escape. Police suspect suicide.
A group of African-American pastors and religious leaders has filed briefs with the U.S. Supreme Court denouncing same-sex marriage and asking the justices to review Michigan's same-sex case filed with the nation's highest court. The Supreme Court is expected to decide in January if it will review the case.
Also in Michigan, Republicans in the Michigan State House passed a license to discriminate bill that would give just about anyone the right to refuse service to LGBT people if it conflicted with their religious beliefs. The broadly written Religious Freedom Restoration Act would allow, for example, for an EMT to refuse emergency treatment to a gay person or a pharmacist to refuse to refill HIV medication. The measure is similar to one in Arizona that Republican Governor Jan Brewer vetoed.
After years of abuse and rejection from strict Christian parents, an Ohio transgender teen committed suicide by stepping in front of a moving tractor-trailer truck. Lila Alcorn, also known as Joshua Alcorn, was struck and killed by a passing semi-trailer on southbound Interstate 71 in Union Township. Alcorn left a suicide note detailing a life dominated by Christian parents who reportedly refused to understand the child's transgender status.
In Ohio, an Athens County judge has reversed his judgment, granting two women the first same-sex divorce in county history. Common Pleas Court Judge George McCarthy ruled that it was not apparent to him that the parties involved in the case were of the same gender when he approved a magistrate's decision in November granting the divorce. McCarthy's decision means Brenda Mone and Aaron O'Leary are now back where they started, considered married in states that recognize same-sex marriage, but not in Ohio.
The surviving partner of a prominent community activist is among those included in a settlement after a 2011 Indiana stage collapse. Among the people killed in that accident was Chicago's Christina Santiago, an activist who, at the time, was manager of programming for Howard Brown Health Center's Lesbian Community Care Project. Her domestic partner, Alicia Marie Brennan, will receive compensation as Santiago's surviving spouse, as well as for injuries she sustained herself. The couple were joined in a civil union shortly after the Illinois civil union law took effect in the summer of 2011.
Baltimore Pride's 40th annual event will be moved to July in 2015. The block party will be held Saturday, July 25th in Mount Vernon, making a return to its traditional location after a controversial move this year to an area farther north. The festival moves to Sunday, July 26th, returning to Druid Hill Park.
In world news, openly lesbian ski legend Anya Pearson says the International Olympic Committee, or IOC, is out of touch on LGBT issues, and that she has little confidence that recent changes to the Olympic Charter will prevent discrimination in the future. The Swede, who retired in 2012 after a career that included Olympic gold and seven world championship titles, has said the IOC should have taken a firmer stance in the controversial build-up to the 2014 Winter Games in Sochi, Russia. Pearson also believes the International Ski Federation needs to step up to the plate and better support gay athletes.
A referendum on legalizing same-sex marriage in Ireland will be held in May. The cabinet in Dublin will hold the vote then. The latest opinion poll in the Irish Times found that 71% of the Republic's electorate would vote yes and allow for legal marriage in the state.
A brutal gang rape forced 27-year-old Milton Amezquita Guzman to flee Guatemala for the United States, according to a QWERTY item that quotes the Washington Blade. However, after fleeing to the U.S., his troubles were only just beginning. Immigration and Customs Enforcement reportedly detained Amezquita Guzman and suffered additional mistreatment before a judge granted him asylum.
In January, Taiwanese authorities will stop requiring trans people to undergo reassignment operation before changing their legal gender, scrapping a policy that they now consider inhumane. A special gender change committee will be set up to consider applications filed by trans individuals aged 18 or above, who will each be given a six-month consideration period.
Gambian authorities arrested three men and accused them of committing homosexual acts, which are punishable with a maximum sentence of life imprisonment under a law signed in October. The arrests followed a security operation, and the men have confessed that they are gay. Their nationalities are not named. HRC commended the Obama administration for taking concrete action against the Gambian government. The United States has suspended Gambia's eligibility for trade benefits.
Doctors in Barcelona, Spain announced that they believe they found a cure for HIV, but it won't be available soon. Similar to the report that Harvard researchers published, the Spanish research team hypothesizes that a blood transplant from a donor with a genetic mutation could prevent HIV from entering cells and replicating. The announcement is based on results of an experimental treatment given to a 37-year-old man, the Barcelona patient, who contracted HIV in 2009 and lymphoma in 2012.
In entertainment news, the Hobbit actor Luke Evans was spotted in Bilbao, Spain with his rumored beau, actor/model John Cortajarena. The couple has been romantically linked since November when they were spotted grabbing lunch together in New York City. They have yet to confirm their relationship.
David Schwimmer will play attorney Robert Kardashian, and Sarah Paulson will portray lawyer Marcia Clark in Ryan Murphy's upcoming anthology series, American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson. Oscar winner Cuba Gooding Jr. will portray Simpson in the 10-episode miniseries, and production on the FX series begins early next year in L.A.
14 more songs for Madonna's upcoming album, Rebel Heart, have been leaked. Newly revealed tracks include Freedom, Beautiful Scars, and the Pharrell collaboration, Back That Up, Do It. This development comes just days after an earlier group of Rebel Heart songs appeared online, prompting the singer to release 6 songs officially on iTunes.
The Hunger Games Mockingjay co-star Jenna Malone has talked about growing up with 2 moms. "I had 2 moms and it was awesome. Double the pleasure. The more love you have as a child, the better," said Malone. Because they were short on money, the family moved around a bunch, with Malone living in 27 different places by the time she was 9.
Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt's 8-year-old biological child Shiloh turned heads at the premiere of Jolie's film Unbroken by joining brothers Maddox and Pax, dressed in a suit and short haircut. The celebrity couple has long been open about Shiloh's decision to identify as male. Shiloh has expressed a desire to be referred to as John.
In an interview with Oprah Winfrey that aired on OWN on December 27th, Michael Sam said he heard from multiple gay NFL players during the season. "A very few reached out to me and pretty much just told me their gratitude and how thankful they were that I had the courage," Sam said. "They wish that they had had the courage to come out." Sam added, "There's a lot of us out there. I'm not the only one. I'm just the only one that's open."
And the creators of the Nickelodeon show Legend of Korra have confirmed that the 2 lead characters are a lesbian couple. The spinoff to Avatar: The Last Airbender ended recently with Korra and Asami walking into the spirit world together, hand in hand. The co-creator of the show posted that Korra and Asami fell in love. "Were they friends? Yes, and they still are, but they also grew to have romantic feelings for each other." And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, this is Cheyenne Jackson, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of January 5th, 2015, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Lifeline Theater proudly presents the 18th annual Soleil of Solo Festival, Chicago's premier celebration of solo performance, storytelling, and live lit. Running Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, now will be January 25th at multiple venues in Rogers Park. More at lifelinetheater.com. Don't miss the 18th annual Soleil of Solo Festival. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at windycityqueercast.com.
Keep drinking coffee, stare me down across the table while I look outside. Time. to you, babe, but I'm not drowning. There's no one here to save. Who cares if you disagree? You and not me. Who made you king of anything? So you dare tell me who to be, who died and made you king of anything.
So, Ms. Cleo, we here in 2015. Just briefly, let's just kind of say this was 2014 and now we're looking ahead to 2015. We're going to have you on again in the next show to really talk about 2015, because I wanted to talk about some of this stuff that's happening right now in Florida with a Floridian. Tell me if you think that on a broad global spectrum, 2014 was about what? And 2015 will be about what?
Well, you know, 2014 was about a lot of, on a personal level for individuals, it was a lot of about creativity. Mm-hmm. A lot about our personal lives, our personal commitments, family, etc. for individuals. On a more global level, we had a great deal of technology and ideas come to the forefront. We had all manner of things going up. Somebody landed on a comet. You know, there were all manner. We pushed the envelope of creativity, whether it was technologically or it was artistically. We definitely pushed that envelope. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people as well, I talked about creating something anew. Mm-hmm. And focus that energy in a creative way in order to bring about the changes that we wanted to bring in our own personal lives. Mm-hmm. So that we can let go of the old stuff, so that we can make the transition easier.
And were we successful in 2014 as a global community?
You know, I would like to say that, you know, it's a mixed bag. It's a 50-50 kind of thing. I think that we were successful in many dynamics. I think some things failed, much in part due to possibly execution. Mm-hmm. Things have done very well. You know, if we stay in that mindset, however, with changes, come many things. Change is what it is, and change can be very, very positive. Change can be negative, and the moving through the change can be the greatest challenge of all, which I will easily make the segue into 2015. Those of you who listen to me or follow me or have been hanging out with me and Amy at the beginning of every year, you know, I speak to the numerology of each year from the ancient Egyptian perspective. And we are coming into a year of transition, 2015. 1 + 5 is the number 6. The complexity of the upcoming year in and of itself will be very exciting, but also quite challenging. The number 6 in Egyptian numerology has a multidimensional vibration. So the first level is confusion. The second level is understanding, and the third level for number 6 is transition. We all know what confusion is about. We all get the concept of understanding. The most difficult dynamic is the actual execution of the transition, and that is what we are moving into in 2015. So if you as an individual did not have a plan, if you as an individual identified certain areas in your life that needed improvement and then chose not to address them, that may come to be a bit more of a challenge than you would care for come 2015, but you still have the opportunity to make the shift. But please expect it to require commitment, conviction, staying power, patience, focus, and even dreams. Dreams are still very, very important, and hope is still very, very important to the whole. I mean, globally and here as well in this country. Again, as we look at just the things that have unfolded in just the last few months.
Mm-hmm. Just looking back just a little bit, Obama's record in 2014, because we have spoken to him as being kind of a for the LGBT community and, you know, I remember you being on before he was elected and you said, you know, or even his campaign and you said, you know, the word change was a big part of your word. And then that became the theme of his presidency. And he's been changing. We're seeing a little different Barack Obama lately, at least with Cuba, with immigration, with I've laughed and said he's the first gay president we've ever had. If Clinton was the first black president. So, you know, were you surprised by kind of his end of the year executive decisions?
No, you know, I still think, to be perfectly honest with you, you know, anybody that knows me knows that I was not an Obamaite. I was for Hillary. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I don't agree with everything that he does, but I'm really happy that given that this is his second term, that he has done some things that require the use of that power called the executive order. I think that certainly, as a president in his legacy, hopefully they will correct it, that he's not glazed over so for some really big things, you know, the capture and of Osama bin Laden, you know, the Health Care Act, even though it stumbled out of the gate, you know, that his legacy will read about some things that have some teeth to them.
Yep.
I think the Cuba-U.S. decision is long overdue. I think it's smart and strategic on any number of levels that personally, whatever the media is doing with the news, perhaps they are not focusing on that. You know that it's a very big issue here in South Florida. And
what is the climate there with the Cuban population there?
You know, I have to be honest with you. I have a number of clients and a number of very dear friends that are Cuban. And, you know, it is a generational split, without a doubt. My friends that are closer to my age, which are 60 and above, are not happy about this. Mm-hmm. They come from a very different history. They come from still some anger and some hurt.
And
the younger ones are like, it's time for it to be over.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand their hurt. I understand their frustration. I even understand their perspective because as a black person, I get it. People want people to be over hurt. And people aren't ready to be over the hurt. They're looking for something more. Do we have to move forward as a nation, as individuals, as collective groups, as you would? If we're going to continue to divide ourselves up, we have to resolve somewhere in our mind that we have to move forward. Mm-hmm. And I think some of the actions that he is taking here at the end, I was actually hoping that the immigration executive order was going to be a bit broader based. But having said that, I am very happy that children and parents will not be separated any longer. But I was hoping for a bit more because there are still pockets of individuals in this country who were indeed brought here 40 years ago. They're old people now.
Mm-hmm.
They were brought here in a variety of different manners and still hide under the guise of not being here legally, but there was nothing to cover them. And these individuals, the majority of them are law-abiding citizens. They pay their taxes however they are paying their taxes, however it looks. Certainly, that same group has violated some law. But what about protection for them if they have not proved to be any kind and no one take offense, a black spot or dark spot on being in this country? And they come from everywhere, not just Cuba. They come from all around the world. Mm-hmm. So I am hoping that he is successful in making this a very strong building block. Certainly, I also feel very passionately and very strongly about the immigration situation. So my feelings are just wrung out all over the place. I can't tell you. Every time I talk turn around. I'm getting pulled in another direction.
Yeah.
You know, and again, let us not forget you and I both being women, as well as we are members of the LGBT community. We have seen some different assaults on women this year, you know, on different things with rape in the military, here in the university vibration. There, it has been a 2014 full of a whole lot.
Yeah.
And
it has been abundant for sure, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. So I am hoping that while we have been made aware of new enigmas, and we have decided to shine the light or re-shine the light on many subject matters, much the NFL, you know, there are enough of us out there in the LGBT community. Doesn't we love our sports same way? And I personally engaged in a number of personal boycotts throughout the NFL season, because I felt very strongly about, and you know my position on domestic violence, and with, for me personally, I have more of a directed focus towards the LGBT community. So do you see what I'm saying? That we can actually integrate some of our focuses.
Yeah.
I would hope moving forward in 2015, as we have so much light on domestic violence, that we would be able to share that light with the domestic violence that goes on within our community. You understand? As opposed to it still being a very laughable matter. But we are patients with everything. So we have to keep moving forward, and our voices have to be heard. We have to speak up, and we have to speak out, even though that's all very frightening right now. Again, it's a whole lot in 2014. And so there were a lot of plans started and a lot of things that were revealed to us as everyday individuals in 2014 as well.
It is going to go down as a huge, huge year. I we're going to have to wrap up, but I feel like you're ramping up, which is perfect to talk about 2015, because I hear you kind of giving us charge and giving us challenge for this year ahead. If 2014 was a year of creativity, a year of family, can you just give me a teaser of one or two words that we'll be talking about in our next show for 2015?
Transition 101. How to survive your creative change.
There you go. Well, that is our next show, folks. We are firmly planted in 2015, and Miss Clea will be back with us next week to talk all about 2015. The Transition 101. I said already that 2014 was the year of the trans community, but now I think they're going to have their day in the sun if it's the year of Transition 101. And we'll be talking with Cleo, you know, about all of the different areas to look and consider this year, the themes for the year, health, money, weather, our community, and the challenge and charge that will be made to us as LGBT people and as people of this planet in the year ahead. Ms. Cleo, I adore you. Thank you for coming on, and we look forward to talking with you next week all about 2015.
Always big fun, sweet pea. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.